All right, we're honored to have with us Dr. Jimmy Myrick, Technology Supervisor for the Cherokee County School System, and Dr. Tarina Wood, Assistant Superintendent for the Cherokee County School System. It's a pleasure to have you folks in with us. Thank you for coming in and being with us.
Well, thank you for having us, Jerry. We appreciate the opportunity to be here.
It's our honor to have you, and we have a lot of new and exciting information to share with the students out there, we think.
Yes, sir. I think that we do concerning technology for this school year. One of the big changes that we're making this year is in the past, we've not allowed electronic devices to be brought into our schools.
That was a no-no.
That was a no-no. That would get you in some trouble with that electronic device in a hurry. Over the past year to year and a half, we've been looking forward and knowing that change was coming with technology. If you think about everything that goes on today, as a matter of fact, we were just touring your studio here and looking at all the changes that had happened here and how it's affected the radio industry. Well, it's affecting the world, and it's affecting the students. And it's our job to teach students using the tools that they're going to be expected to use in the world today. And that includes technology. So we've known that has been coming, and we've been looking forward to that opportunity, and the time has come. We have spent the past year and a half and putting Wi-Fi throughout all of our schools. We didn't have the Wi-Fi infrastructure in place to allow the devices to be used, and that was the first thing that we had to get done. And we were able to do that through my office, through the people that work with me, Lee Haynes, our network administrator, Nathaniel Hunter, computer network specialist, and Rhonda Clark, our technology integration specialist. We've pulled over 20,000 feet of Cat6 cabling through all our schools in order to put wireless access points throughout all the schools where we would have the connectivity that we needed. And we, of course, had some help from our maintenance department. They've always been great to help us in getting connectivity in places, in gyms, places we couldn't reach or where it might be difficult to get cabling, so that we had that wireless infrastructure in place now, and we're going to be able to allow those electronic devices to be brought into schools by students.
Wow, that's a huge change. Now, I know since you, the supervisors and people, well, from the superintendent's office on down and the Board of Education has had to have a big change of heart, and I'm sure that you had something to do with that, Dr. Myrick, that you probably had to do some explaining to them why this might be important to make those changes to allow the devices in.
Well, it was really a team effort. I think our principals were actually on board from the get-go and saw this change coming, and I was actually approached by some principals wanting to know when we were going to be making that change. And so everybody has been a part of this change in allowing this to be done.
You mean you're going to allow? Now, when you say wireless devices, that include regular cell phones?
Yes, sir, it does. It does include regular cell phones. It includes laptops, iPads, and those type things. But let me let the community know, and parents and students, that the first day of school, we don't want everybody to show up with 15 devices and expect to be able to use those day one of school. We only want devices to be brought when there's an instructional purpose for the devices to be brought. And the devices can only be used during the school day when there's permission and an instructional purpose for the devices to be used.
So students will not be allowed to be sitting in class, appearing to be absorbing what the instructor or the teacher is telling them, and them sitting there texting. That's not going to be allowed.
That is not allowed at all in any way whatsoever, and that's not the intention of the policy.
Because the electronic devices, as you said, they're tools. It can be work. We use them here for work tools. Who would have ever thought I could have had a handheld device that I talk on, I send text or emails, or download the web browser and search the internet and all in one device? Well, it's here. That's modern technology.
You're exactly right. And let me share a couple of interesting numbers with you just to show how much saturation there is of those devices with our students. we did an informal survey at the end of school last year of some of our students. This was a truly just a random sample of students. And when we looked at grades 4 through 12, we found that 82% of those students had a cell phone. And when we limited that population, when we looked at just students in grades 9 through 12, it went to 97% of students in grades 9 through 12 of our sample had a cell phone device, and 73% of those were smartphone devices.
Wow.
I was amazed by that as well, because a smartphone is not a cheap device.
That's right. But they can be great tools if used properly for instructional purposes.
Yes, sir. And that's exactly what we're looking to do, is to allow that opportunity where the students can use those devices. Now, at the beginning, what we're looking at is when they bring in the cell phones, they will be allowed to bring those to school with them, but they will have to be in an off or silent state and to not be visible. We're not looking for them to bring them in and just use them at will when they choose. And we think about us in the work environment. I can't just decide right now I want to just stop talking with you and get my cell phone out and start texting all my friends.
Right.
And that's part of this experience, is that we need to teach young people the proper etiquette to be responsible digital citizens and how to use the equipment that's available to them properly to help them be more successful in life. So that's part of this as well, of what we're trying to do.
Well, not only will that be advantageous to the students, but it also has some great advantages for the school systems, doesn't it? Or will have in the future?
It will. It definitely will, because it will allow a greater use of devices among all of the students across our schools. Where now we may not have enough devices for every student, this will allow more devices to be used.
For those students that may not be able to have a cell phone or a device that would download or access digital information that would be asked of them in class, will there be some digital devices available for them, maybe access to a laptop or a notebook or an iPad or something of that nature?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And we do have numerous devices in our schools, and we're going to have training and equitable access, and that's just part of the instructional process teachers go through every day, is making sure that every student has the same opportunity for learning in the classroom, and this will just be an extension of that.
Dr. Myrick, let me ask you this, and not only will it have benefits for educational purposes, but in the view of things that have gone on around our nation in recent years with violence, will this help improve security? As far as if students see something going on that they could call for assistance directly, in event of an emergency, would that be of an improvement there?
Well, I think there's potential in that area. I think we would need to be sure that we use normal communication channels and the security plans that the schools have in place, that they will have addressed the proper procedures to follow for security. And that could be something they could consider, that they would have protocols established that would possibly allow for some type of use along those lines.
Of course, this is a new thing. There's going to be a learning curve.
Yes. Yes, I think there will be.
How long do you think it will take to get the system fully implemented and everything nailed down to where it's going to be smooth and easy access? I know it's going to take a while.
Well, what we're looking at is letting school kind of get started and everything kind of get settled, the normal starting of school procedures and everything we have to get rolling. And then we're going to issue the wireless access accounts to those schools that have students that are ready to access the Wi-Fi. And then we'll work with the schools distributing those accounts. They'll actually have to log on to our Wi-Fi network in order to use it. And let me mention something else here too. I know a lot of parents may have this question. They may have a data plan on their cell phone with their student, and they're thinking, oh, you know, I may start running over my gigabyte limits a month.
Sure.
Is this something that's going to start costing me a lot of money, and now my child's going to be using it at school for schoolwork, and now my cell phone bill is going to be outrageous. And our policy clearly states that they are not to use their personal data plans when they're at school. They're to use our Wi-Fi network. And so that would be a violation of our policy if they were using their personal data access plans.
Okay, when they're on your network, then they and that's what you want them to use.
Yes.
So that you're regulated on certain access availability, and so you're going to have to pass that along to your students.
That's correct.
Am I correct?
You are correct, sir. Everything will be routed through our network, back through our office, and all our filtering will apply, and all the regular rules and things that we do have to abide by will apply also.
And because this new responsibility and this new opportunity for students will be for instructional purposes. That's what it's for. Am I on track with this?
You are absolutely on track. It's for instructional purposes.
Okay. So, students, I know you're excited about being able to bring your cell phone out there, and that's a good thing, or your wireless devices, whether it be notebook, laptop, or whatever, but or tablet, but still, it's going to be under strict control of the supervisor, the teachers, and you'll have strict protocol to go by when to use them and when not to.
That's correct. And they can expect during the opening session of schools, when the principals go over all of the policies and the rules and regulations, that they will be addressing that with their student bodies at that time at the schools.
Well, this is an exciting new era for our school. Coming, you know, with all the electronic opportunities and technology that we have. And I know you and your folks have been working hard, because we were had the opportunity to use a wireless network a time or two last year and to check it out to see how it worked. And we tested it for you, and it worked well.
Yeah, we used you in testing some of our connectivity, and when we were implementing everything starting out, and that did work well. And you know, you think about how things have changed in the availability, and I was just thinking on the way in today how yesterday Dr. Wood and I had an appointment in Birmingham with a meeting with the State Department. Well, unfortunately, we were on the road traveling when Mr. Pierce was doing his interview yesterday. Well, we wanted to hear that, so we were able to stream WEIS over the internet, over our cell phone, and listen to the radio just as if we were right here in Cherokee County.
And we have many people that do that around the world. You know, we have people listening in Kosovo and in Kentucky and in, you know, South America and all over the world that listen to us on a regular basis. And we are honored that they choose to, but they have connections to our county in our locale, Northeast Alabama, want to know what's going on. And so they choose to listen to us, and we're glad they do. But that's made possible by the new technologies that you're implementing.
That's correct. And we're excited about this new policy. We're looking forward to students being able to expand their learning opportunities using technology in our schools this year.
Well, it'll really give them, I can envision them being able to do research so much quicker, you know, with the internet, rather than having to go to the library and check out books and things like this. And they can have all the books, more books than a truck could haul, in the palm of their hand.
They sure can, right in the palm of their hand. I remember going to the library as a student back when I was in school, and that's a couple of years ago. And
yeah.
The only time we got an opportunity to look up any information was when, you know, we could go physically to a location.
Right.
Or we could ask somebody that had knowledge. And now they have that information available to them all the time. Experts available that have that knowledge that they can get instantly.
Wow. That is great. And educational systems come, you know, a long, long way, as all industries have. And, of course, this is just exciting that these students will have the availability and access to them. And of course, as you said, first day of school, no need to bring them, right? Unless they want to.
Right. No need to bring extra type devices. They're welcome to bring their cellular phones. But again, they need to be in an off and silent state, and they do not need to be visible. The only time they would need to be used is if they have permission.
Okay.
And I want to let the parents know, too, as well, in our policy, when students are bringing these devices, they're bringing them at their own risk. We're not assuming any liability whatsoever for the devices. So parents need to understand, you know, the responsibility level of their child before they turn them loose with a $500 iPad or a $600 cell phone and allow them to bring that to school. I know I want to know that if my children are taking those devices, there's a good reason for them to be taken and that they understand what I expect of them on how they are to be used and taken care of.
Because students are students. And, right. You know, they act as children because they are. You know, you can't expect them to be as responsible as an adult. So you have to teach them the responsibilities with those type devices. And again, that is at their own risk.
Absolutely. And we'd also recognize the benefit of having that cell phone, too, for after-school activities.
You know,
that's something that I think would be important. So if a student wants to bring, a parent wants to their child to have cell phone availability after school, there's nothing wrong with them leaving that cell phone in their car and waiting until they need that phone after school.
Right. Anything else, Dr. Myrick, that we need to go over as far as the electronics and the changes and the new rules that you've left out?
I think that's the biggest change for us this year. One other change we did make, I just want to briefly mention, and it's a change in our handbook. In the past, we had done individual permission forms with parents to get email accounts for Google and things like that with students. We've just gone ahead and included that in the handbook because that is part of our instructional process now. There are so many things available online that we're asking for that permission in the handbook so we don't have to continuously send form after form home to parents and get that permission. We want every student to have that opportunity and to make that part of their learning experience while they're at school where we can make all of those online resources available to them.
Now, when you mentioned the handbook there, and that's the rules and the guidelines for students to abide by, are those going to be a physical pamphlet handbook that they can have to carry home with them to read, or will it be online for moms and dads to access it and have a copy?
Let's go with both.
That's good.
They will get a printed physical copy to take home, and we also make the handbook available on our website under Board of Education and Documents for anybody to view. That's there in electronic format as well.
CherokeeK12.org.
CherokeeK12.org. You've got it, sir.
All right. Great. Thank you for coming in and being with us, and we appreciate the great information that you have to share with us this morning. And we're coming up next with Dr. Trina Wood right after the break. Back in our studios with our guest this morning, we're honored to have with us Dr. Trina Wood, Assistant Superintendent of the Cherokee County Board of Education. Dr. Wood, thank you for taking your time coming in and being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, Jerry.
It's our pleasure. We want to talk about some things that are coming. And, of course, one of the things that the board's had in place for a while is the school advisory boards and the importance that they play.
Well, actually, we actually implemented those in 2012. It was a result of the accreditation process with Advanced Ed. When they left us in 2012, they left with recommendations, and they wanted us at that time to find a means of allowing more input from all of our stakeholders. So as Dr. Myrick said earlier, we sat down as a group with our principals and supervisors, and we talked about how do we want to go about this, but most importantly, why do we want to do this? What is the purpose? What do we see them accomplishing or helping us to accomplish? And at that time, we determined that we really wanted a working, active voice from all of our stakeholders. So last year, we were able at each school to get a school advisory council established of representatives, three representatives from each of the stakeholder groups, teachers, parents, support personnel, community, and students. And it is led by those people. The principal serves as a facilitator, but we actually are looking for input for what they want to see happen in their school system.
And they all help formulate policy and direction for the educational system.
Absolutely. We've used them in many different means, from reviewing policies, reviewing the handbook, helping us to establish what they wanted to see in the future as far as the technology plan. They each pretty much across the board all wanted to see the implementation of technology in the rooms, allowing students to bring cell phone devices. They saw that as a need. So we took a lot of information. They are a very valuable asset to us.
Absolutely. Because no one person has all the answers. And when you get all the different people, and as you say, stakeholders, the people that have an interest in the school system, get them together and collaborate together, then you can get all the information that you need in the direction that you need to go.
That's correct.
And that is wonderful. Any changes in the student code of conduct and the handbook?
We did. We revise that every year, and we review it every year. Nothing significant besides technology, with the exception of a few changes in the fire drills and safety drills that we will be doing. In the past, students have always had a fire drill monthly, and that's just the way it's always been. Now, the Homeland Security wants us to focus more on lockdown drills. And that's important. With all the incidents that are happening around the world, that's just critical for us to do. So your child may come home in the first 6 weeks of school. We're mandated to have a lockdown drill within the first 6 weeks of school each semester and start talking about shelter in place. We practice lockdown. Teachers are talking to me about shelter in place, and that's new for them. In the past, we typically try to run it in a format where all the students are in the classroom. But what we have found out through these incidents is that sometimes students are not always in the exact place they need to be in an unfortunate incident. And so we need to treat them and train them as if they can handle it on their own. So if they're in the bathroom, if they're in the lunchroom, if they're in the hallway, where do I go? And it's going to be called shelter in place, and we hope that they'll come away knowing in an unfortunate situation how to handle that.
Unfortunately, we're in a world where we all have to learn new things and to be safe.
Absolutely.
That's unfortunate, but that's the world that we're in. So if we're going to properly survive in the event these incidents should occur, or we find ourselves in an unfortunate situation, how to handle it and to be safe and to keep our families or the people around us safe. And in this case, school children could help keep other school children calm and safe. Am I correct?
That is correct.
So you're going to be asking a lot of these school children, but you know, they're up to it.
Yeah, we just want them to be prepared.
Absolutely. And the better prepared they are, the better they can handle it. I know we always touch on dress code. That's something that we talk about every year. Any changes in the dress code this year for students?
Very minor changes for students. In the past, we've had the mesh or clear book bags. We changed that last year. You can bring any type of book bag that you want. That didn't change this year. We left the policy and the procedures exactly the same, with the exception of just emphasizing a few things. The School Advisory Council wanted to make sure that students, and this may seem unusual, but students at PE actually keep their shirts on. And I'm talking about the males, because yeah. I'm sure there's, you know, skins and shirts games. That's probably what happens during a basketball game. So that is exactly, they want us to maintain the proper dress code while we are at school. So we are asking our students and asking our principals to enforce that. Also, tattoos, they cannot be visible. We've always had that policy. We just re-emphasized it so that we can make sure that we don't have anyone with tattoos that are visible, because a lot of times that's left up to interpretation if that's offensive or if that is something that's not appropriate for school.
So if it's on a forearm, long sleeves are going to be required for those students. Am I correct?
That is correct.
You know, and these students may not have thought about that when getting tattoos, because that's a popular fad or fashion statement or whatever. That's where we are in our society today.
That is correct.
And so parents need to be aware of that, and because they want to make sure that the students are the ones that would be reprimanded if the parents don't properly supervised to make sure those tats are covered, right?
That is. And we ask parents just to, you know, make sure you look at your kids before they're going out the door each morning. Ensure that they have appropriate attire on so that they can, that is all conducive to a learning environment. The way that our students dress, the way that our teachers dress. So that's the reason we have these policies in place.
Okay, we're going to ask a lot of the students make sure they're properly attired. How about teachers? Is there a dress code for instructors, teachers, support personnel?
I'm glad you asked. Another result of the School Advisory Council that we heard overwhelmingly was the fact that they wanted a guideline, some sort of employee handbook that did address cell phone use by employees as well as a dress code. And we developed that with input from our school advisory councils and our district advisory council. So this year we have developed and will be implementing a new employee handbook, and it is available online now. It was passed by the board a couple of weeks ago. It is the one that's in place, and we would truly appreciate all of our employees to visit the website and take a look at that. We're not expecting teachers or any of our employees to wear a three-piece business suit.
I understand.
It's not appropriate for teaching. We only want them to exceed the student dress code. That was something that we heard across the board. And we also want them to make sure that they can distinguish themselves from the students. So it is listed as business casual. And that means, you know, khaki pants, a collared shirt, and you're going to be fine. So it's not anything that would force anyone to go out and purchase a lot of new outfits.
You don't want it to be a burden on the teachers, the instructors, or the students and their parents either. You know, want to keep it all within reason.
Absolutely.
And it looks that you've done that in a great way. The safety plans and safety drills you touched on a while ago, is there anything that you need to add to those, Dr. Wood?
Not necessarily, except that I would like to say a special thank you to our local first responders. They've been great in working with our principals in getting our safety plans online through Virtual Alabama. In the event of a disaster, in the event of some unfortunate event, this is going to allow them immediate access to our safety plans, immediate access to our floor plans. Hopefully we're never going to have to utilize them, but in the event that we do, the principals have spent a great deal of time making sure that their safety plans are up to date and in Virtual Alabama.
One question, and this you may want to defer to the superintendent, but and I don't want to put you on the spot, but so much talk every year about when storms come through. Do we send students home? Do we keep them in school? Where are they safest? Any protocol there that you want to address? Because that goes back to safety.
It does go back to safety. And of course, ultimately, it is on the shoulders of the superintendent. But we all look at those different scenarios that could happen. And I know that Mr. Geis takes into consideration when we're sending kids home, are they going home to an empty house? Are we going to get caught when we're on a bus? So all of that information has to be taken in, and we try to make the best decision for our students and make sure that they are protected. So there's not a set protocol on that. It is a judgment decision, but we take everything into consideration when making those decisions.
I know every case is different because all the circumstances are different. And we know that from working here and what we do with the weather and things of that nature. But the main thing is we want to keep our students safe in a safe environment, good learning atmosphere, so that they can get the proper education they need. And the parents can be rest assured that your students not only are safe, but are getting the education that you're sending them to school to get. Am I correct?
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely. All right. Anything else that we've not talked about? You hear we have a five-year strategic plan and policy manual revisions. You want to touch on that?
I would just like to say, going back to the school advisory councils, everybody may not be familiar with that. It was implemented last year, and a lot of times when we initiate new committees, many people may think, well, it's just another committee. They're going to ask me to come in and sign a few things. And that's not what this committee is about. So we ask that our parents, teachers, support personnel, all stakeholders, if you are interested in serving on that committee to have input into the decisions that are being made, that you contact your school principal, notify them. It is elected. You're elected by your peers. So if you can't serve, if you're not able to serve, find out who your contact is. that way you would know who to go to in the event that you wanted information. So it is just such a great opportunity, and they have so much input, and we have really opened up them to have a voice into the decisions that we make. And I would also like to say a special thank you to all the supervisors who have spoken this week. They've done a wonderful job in getting information out there. Sometimes I don't think that the public realizes that when school closes in May and doesn't open back up until August, that there's a lot of behind the scenes activities that go on. And I would like to say thank you not only to the district level supervisors, but the girls at the office, maintenance, bus driver, bus personnel getting the buses ready, principals getting their schools ready. Just a lot of planning, a lot of work goes on to make sure that the doors open on August the 19th and that the students can have a smooth transition into a safe school year.
Absolutely. Anything that we haven't touched on that either of you wanted to get out to the public this morning? We don't want to leave anything out. We don't want to rush, but we want to get this important information to the parents and to the students as well.
We just want to say that we're excited about a new school year. When we're pairing the implementation of technology along with our new college and career-ready standards, our expectation is that the learning environment is going to change. It's going to be exciting for our students, exciting for our teachers, and we're looking for success for every student, every day, in every classroom.
Absolutely. Well, it's exciting. We've gotten a lot of great information this week. And by the way, we didn't get to cover everything yesterday because time just didn't permit with Mr. Pierce. So he's coming back in tomorrow to finish. So we're going to cover the rest of his assessment and go, you know, from there that we didn't get out. That's important that people know. So we're going to bring Mr. Pierce back in tomorrow and have him in with us and get that out. And because we don't want to leave anything out. We don't want the parents and the students to say, well, I didn't know that ahead of time. So that's the reason that we've taken time this week to, and thank you so much to all the supervisors, every one of them that's come in and shared this week, because this is information that parents and students alike need to know. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Dr. Myrick, anything else? Nothing? Okay. Thank you so very much for being with us, and we'll have Mark Summers in the Weiss Radio newsroom coming up at 8.